Welcome to the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Sarah Gustavus. Thanks for joining us this morning. Here in New Mexico, highways are a big part of life in our state. We spend time out on the road, either for work, to visit family, or check out some of the amazing outdoor places. When you're out on the roads in New Mexico, what do you see? Are there patches of pavement coming up? Do you swerve to avoid rough spots that could wreak havoc on your car or truck? Where are the worst roads in our state? We want to hear from you this hour. Join us today by calling 505-277-5866. And if you're outside of Albuquerque, you can call 1-877-899-5866. Today, we're talking about the condition of rural roads in our state. We'll get a little bit into local roads, but we mostly want to hear what needs to be done to repair and repave roads across New Mexico. I'm joined in studio today by New Mexico Department of Transportation Secretary Tom Church. Thanks for being with us.
Hi, Sarah. Thank you for having me.
All right, let's get to some folks who are out on the roads today. We have Terry Brunner on the line. Terry is the State Director of USDA Rural Development. He's on his way to Silver City. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm pretty good. Terry, how much time do you spend on the roads every year?
Oh, gosh. I'm on the roads at least 2 days a week, every week, in rural New Mexico.
And what do you see?
Well, I see a wide variety of stuff. You know, a lot of roads are in really good shape. You know, it's a challenge. It's such a big state, so many roads. I admire all the people that work for the highway department to keep them up. But also, there's a lot of bad roads and roads that need fixing. And so there's just a wide variety of stuff out there.
What roads come to mind when you think of some that could really use some attention?
Well, you know, the roads down in the southeast part of the state that are getting heavy traffic in the oil and gas industry, from the oil and gas industry, those roads that see a lot of truck traffic, they really need some repair. So the road from Jal to Carlsbad, that area, that really gets a lot of traffic, a lot of stress, I think, on that road, and it's a little dangerous. I myself have had a few near misses on that road, and that one in particular strikes me as a difficult road. And there's some around Roswell and Clovis that are pretty tough too, and that I've seen as well.
For the work that you do with USDA, why are roads important?
Well, roads really are the connectivity that rural communities need to good services, to educational opportunities, to health care. I don't think people in Albuquerque necessarily understand what it's like for folks in rural America that have to drive 2 hours to a doctor's appointment, or the kids that have to hop on the school bus for an hour trip on a rural road to get to school. These roads are really vital to the economic well-being, the health, the education status of these rural communities. And it's just really important in such a big rural state that these roads are being in good shape and provide really these opportunities for rural communities to stay connected to the rest of the state.
Terry, important point to start us off with this hour. We are going to get into that more. Thank you so much for calling in today.
Thank you for having me.
And Terry mentioned oil and gas development. There are trucks on the road. We've heard about that, and we're going to talk about that this hour. Do you work in that industry, or do you drive in an area that has a lot of oil and gas development? What have you seen? Are the roads in bad condition, as some of the national reports say? Join us by calling 277-5866. Again, that's 277-5866. Let's bring in Nika Westerling. She's the city engineer for the city of Farmington. Nika, thanks for being with us this morning.
Well, good morning. Thanks for having me.
We want to get a local perspective from you. How are the roads around Farmington right now?
The roads around Farmington need a little repair. Some of the roads coming into Farmington could use a little work. Some of them are really good. 550 coming in is really nice. They did that a couple of years ago. But you're right, the oil and gas does take a beating on the roads.
What's the city's role in that? We're going to talk a little bit this hour about funding coming from different places, but how does the city take part in that conversation about what needs to happen to make sure the roads are good for your residents?
Well, we have local funding that we do local streets with. We also get money from the state, and as part of the Farmington MPO, we participate in ranking and trying to get the state to fund projects that are in this area. So we do have a say.
Yeah.
So,
what are some of the greatest challenges the city faces right now in maintaining roads?
Not enough funding. So it's tough to do everybody's road at one time. So when we start doing that, we're doing a major resurfacing effort right now, and you get a lot of complaints. So because we have a lot of things torn up at one time. So it's a timing thing as well. So
how do you balance that?
The best you can. So you try not to have too many things right in the same area torn up, so you have alternate routes. But people don't like orange barrels.
Of course. We all want those roads to be great, but it is kind of a hassle when it comes time to repave them.
Yes, it is. So I just want to have people be aware that there are usually, if there's orange barrels, there's usually people working.
Absolutely.
So please be cautious and take that extra minute to get to work.
Nico, a lot of folks listening today in kind of the Albuquerque and Santa Fe area, anything you think that they don't understand about challenges faced in some of the other parts of the state, like Farmington?
Well, sometimes we have problems getting funding because we're in Santa Fe's district. So, and I this is just my supposition, but I think sometimes Santa Fe sees Santa Fe, but they don't see Farmington. So they don't come to visit us enough.
All right. And if they came out, you think that would change some lawmakers' minds?
Well, I think they would see the condition of some of the rural roads more often. So more trips around the state to actually see the infrastructure, I think, would help.
All right. Nika, thank you so much for joining us for a few minutes this morning.
Well, thank you for having me.
All right. And let's bring in a caller. We have Richard from Albuquerque. Richard, what do you want to add to the conversation this morning?
Good morning, Sarah. How are you?
I'm pretty good.
Thank you for taking my call. I work in public education, and I see the same problem that I'm sure the highway department does, which is New Mexico is on kind of a funding roller coaster, and that's because of the way that we fund. New Mexico generates a lot of its revenues, which is the oil and gas severance taxes, which just means we get more money when the price of oil and gas is high. And my suggestion is to implement an index fuel tax so that when drivers reap the benefit of low prices at the pump, then a small tax is levied as the price goes down, and it's indexed so that the tax that the driver pays goes up as the price of fuel decreases, so the pain of the revenue is reduced because they're already reaping a large savings on the price of fuel, and then the tax would come back off again if, as undoubtedly will happen, the price of fuel goes up again. This would tend to smooth out the problem New Mexico has, which is in its revenues, which I call the roller coaster, which is it's constantly on a roller coaster of funding, and our legislature is constantly trying to deal with this problem of shortfalls in years when fuel prices are low, then we have good years when the prices go back up again. And so that would help deal with the problem of funding for highways and other important functions that the state of New Mexico has to fulfill.
Richard, thanks for bringing that up, and that's a good opportunity to bring in Senator John Arthur Smith. We have him on the line today. Senator Smith is the chair of the Senate Finance Committee. Let's talk a little bit about funding. Senator Smith, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much. Appreciate being on and talking about this issue. It's not something that just happened overnight.
Absolutely.
It's been with us.
Senator Smith, we had a caller just mentioning and maybe looking at a different way of funding roads. In this year's regular session, you sponsored legislation to raise the state's gas tax. Why did you think that's the right step right now?
Well, right now on this program, you're talking about state highway roads. I'm also very interested in municipal government roads and county government roads. Our gasoline tax has not changed since 1992. And it has the buying power that's being reduced on a straight line at 2% a year. So we're down to the buying power of 1992 is down to about 56% now.
And so by raising the gas tax, you think that that's enough to meet that need for the state's part of the funding?
No, I think it's going to take a combination of things because the efficiency of vehicles Obviously, we have traffic that's still using the roads, but they're getting better mileage. I think the indexing certainly would help on that, and that's one of the solutions. But it's going to take a multitude of effort to take care of our highway problem. You know, the Department of Transportation has over 30,000 lane miles of state highway system. Local governments have over 30,000 miles of highway system. So you really can't talk about state roads. You got to talk about local roads also. The 17 cents on the gasoline tax right now, 3 cents of that goes to local governments, and that's why you're starting to hear local governments complain. Of course, their option is they can talk with the county and get an increase in property tax and set up paving districts within local governments on property tax. But obviously, whenever you talk about revenues, you're not talking anything that's very popular, and that's part of the problem we're locked in with right now, because proposing additional costs for transportation is not politically popular, and as a result, you have every executive that I'm familiar with, and I've been up here 27 years, is talking about the glamour project that they completed, whether it's the road to Farmington or whether it's the Big Eye. They all point to that. We've got a much deeper problem than that. We've got a reoccurring expenditure problem, not one-time money. Richard, I think, was last time appointed to the severance money. When you had lots of money, you could do a lot, but you can't do it on a reoccurring basis. You need a stable revenue stream to do that. And right now, the Department of Transportation, they think they need a reoccurring construction funding of $600 million per year. And right now, their current budget is about $250 million, leaving a total gap of close to $350 million more. So the problem is huge, and obviously my coffee club back down in the Deming area, and I probably travel the roads as much as anybody outside of a commercial truck or bus driver. We get together and we have a collective IQ of maybe, with 10 of us, maybe 100. And so as a result, there's lots of answers out there, but you just can't keep funding roads the way we've funded them and watch them deteriorate. And the more we procrastinate, the more expensive it's going to become. We've had such large projects in this state. We have a bonded indebtedness right now of about $1.5 billion because we've borrowed money for roads, and we're servicing debt of close to $150 million a year on that, and that's the situation we're in. And those were actually direct actions by the Highway Commission over various administrations. So we've got a huge problem, and I just appreciate the opportunity to speak to this, because oftentimes you get sound bites, but you don't get an explanation.
We're going to get into that some more, Senator Smith, just one moment. We're going to take a few calls. We have lots of folks on the line right now. Let's hear from an anonymous caller in northern New Mexico. I understand you work in an industry related to roads. What are you seeing right now?
Yeah, is that me?
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, yeah. I worked in the construction industry many years ago on building highways and so forth. And, for example, I'm going to direct at the northern New Mexico main arteries, like Highway 68 and the other one, which is 78, goes to the Colorado line. And those are main arteries that lead to and from New Mexico, not only used by local folks, but also by heavy tourism, which is big in the state. Now, my problem is, like the first caller said, and my issue, not problem, is the big trucks, the big semi-trucks, oil trucks, and other profit-making industries, and he nailed it right in the head. I commend him for it. And then big trucks tear up them roads quite a bit, you know, and I know that because I used to be a trucker many years ago, and I also was in the construction field and building highways, and now we got a big mess on our hands, and who's going to fix it? Now, I know the gentleman just called. He said about raising taxes. We got a lot of folks on fixed incomes that cannot afford to have their property taxes jacked up anymore. And I believe we're already paying our fair share and have paid our fair share in fuel. I'm talking gallon-wise, and I'm talking natural gas and so forth. So my beef is, who pays for these? Is there a tax allotment for these big companies to help repair these roads, or are we going to, the citizens have to foot the bill? That's my beef.
And all right.
I thank you for allowing me. I wanted to remain anonymous because, you know.
I understand. All right.
But
that's
anyway,
an important.
I spoke my piece.
Thank you so much for that call. Senator Smith, that's an interesting point there. Who's going to pay for it? Can some of that go back to the companies that are working in those areas?
Well, some of those companies are already paying for it. I mean, in special fuels. Obviously, now the question is it enough on that? But it's not as if they've been sitting on the bench watching this happen. We have the interstates coming across I-10. You got I-40 up north, and then 25 that doesn't carry the truck traffic that it once did, are compared to I-10 and I-40. On that, the property tax proposal is an option for local governments. That is not for state roads. That's an option for local governments, and I'm trying to avoid that at all cost. And that's why I want to amortize it through either some type of special excise tax and a combination of gasoline tax on that, so we can amortize that with a larger crowd rather than put the burden on the local property owner. But that's just one of the options out there when we discuss that and the fixes. And the gentleman that wanted to be anonymous, he's absolutely right. And, you know, don't tax me, don't tax you, tax the guy behind the tree is the old stalemate question that we keep flying and on that. And it's a challenge. But, you know, roads are not necessarily an entitlement on that. And the users have to pay for it, and people that buy gasoline, buy vehicles for transportation, and use trucks transportation for goods and services, they're going to be the users, and they would be paying for any additional cost, as they are right now. They're paying a pretty healthy portion.
Senator Smith, we need to go to a break right now. Hold that thought. We have an email comment from Virginia. She said, I recently drove the road from Carlsbad to Pecos, Texas, and it was horrifying. It's a two-lane road with a speed limit of 75 miles an hour, almost bumper to bumper with huge trucks servicing the oil and gas industry in that area. Do you have a comment you'd like to make about a road you've driven down recently that needs some repairs or to be repaved? You can join our conversation today by calling 277-5866. Outside of Albuquerque, it's 877-899-5866. This is the KUNM Call-In Show. We'll be right back.
Meet the World, July 10th, 11th, and 12th at the International Folk Art Market, Santa Fe, featuring over 150 master folk artists from around the world. Meet the artists, enjoy music, food, and shop with a cause. Tickets are limited. Details at folkartalliance.org.
Next time on Peace Talks Radio.
If you look back at when the police were first created, there wasn't quite the expectation that they would reduce or eliminate crime.
We're getting to a point where it's us against them. And we don't say that about anybody else in our communities but police right now.
What emotional intelligence does is it trains police officers how to control their state of mind in these emergency situations and on everyday situations.
Improving citizen and police relations. Next time on Peace Talks Radio, Friday morning at 8 on KUNM.
This is the KUNM Call-In Show. Let's go to the phone lines. They are all filled up right now. Sarah in Albuquerque, what's your comment today?
I just want to let people know that Governor Martinez had spent $3 million in advertising to attract tourists to our state. And so we have that kind of money to, you know, to con people in our state, spend their money. They're going to be very disappointed. They're going to be running into tore up roads and potholes and while they're visiting New Mexico. And don't you think that's a disappropriated money? I feel that money should be, that money, an advertisement should have been spent fixing our roads. And the tourists would want to naturally come here and drive and visit all the scenery.
All right. Thanks for your call today, Sarah. We also have Glenn from Jemez Springs. Glenn, what's your comment today? Glenn, are you there? Let's go to our next caller, Jan in Mountain Air. Jan, what do you want to add?
Well, a number of years ago, we were battling the proposed building of a biomass plant. And one of the things that was of great concern was that they were going to be running semi-trucks full of wood 24/7 on state roads and county roads. And when we asked the question, okay, who's going to pay for the damage done to these roads, they sat there and looked at us like no one had ever asked that question, or they knew the answer and didn't want to respond. But there was this total silence and dumbfounded non-response from the people who wanted to build the plant. And it feels to me like there isn't a mechanism, or maybe there is and we don't know about it, for taxing the industry that does this kind of damage to the road. Like, why aren't we taxing the oil and gas industry? Why aren't we, you know, we're all about, you know, them being here and doing what they're doing, but with the damage done to the roads, aren't they being assessed something for that since they're the ones doing the major damage?
Senator Smith, let's put that one back to you. I know it's kind of similar to what we were just talking about, but we also have a Twitter question asking for corporations to pay their fair share because New Mexicans are also paying. Explain that a little bit. Is there a way to tax corporations even more? Is that on the table?
Well, you know, it's interesting we talk about oil and gas. Oil and gas is directly responsible for 31% of our general fund budget. That's almost $2 billion. On that, and obviously their trucks and their rigs also pay special fuels cost there. And once again, the question is, are they paying enough? But it's not as if they're not stepping to the plate right now on that. And so most people really don't understand how much oil and gas contributes to the general fund of the state of New Mexico. And Richard, that was spoke before, trying to take the hills and valleys out of the revenue stream for education funding, and suggested an option for fuel tax on that. This is exactly one of the reasons that I've been so protective of the land grant permanent fund. Between the land grant and the severance permanent fund, it gives us a stabilized revenue stream to our general fund of close to $700 million a year. Now, $700 million is a little over 10% of our total general fund. Our general fund is around a little over $6 billion. So it's you know, it's a real challenge on that. But I don't want the callers to leave the impression that oil and gas isn't stepping to the plate.
Senator Smith, I know you need to get to a committee meeting this morning. Any final thoughts you want to leave us with?
No, I just appreciate the opportunity to speak here on that and trying to expand this discussion. And I'm hoping that our elected officials will do what is responsible, not necessarily what is politically popular. But we obviously need to take care of the reoccurring maintenance of our highways, and we're really deficient in revenues for that.
All right. Senator John Arthur Smith, thanks for joining us today. Senator Smith is the chair of the Senate Finance Committee. I'd like to bring in now Secretary Tom Church. You've been sitting there listening to all these comments from folks talking about funding. Where does funding come from in the state? It comes from a lot of different places to repair these roads and address these issues that folks have raised this morning.
Hi, Sarah. That's correct. You know, for the state revenues, there are two separate pots of money. One is the federal revenues, which is about half that come in from the Federal Highway Administration or through Congress. The other is the state revenues that come in through a combination of gas tax, vehicle registration fees, diesel fuel tax, which is special fuels, and then what's called weight distance tax. And so in response to the folks that have brought up issues about the trucking industry, what they are paying is both the diesel fuel tax, which is higher than the gas tax, is about 22 cents a gallon right now, as well as the weight distance tax, which is a formula where they pay based on the weight of the truck and the mileage they drive.
And we get a lot of funds, you know, like so many things in New Mexico, from the federal government. What's going on at the federal level right now when it comes to funding for roads?
Well, you know, the federal government hasn't really acted on a highway bill in almost 10 years. There have been what they call continuing resolutions, where they do a short-term fix. Currently, there's a bill was just passed through the House Transportation Committee yesterday that actually proposes a six-year fix. Our hope is that moves its way through the process.
And What do we need to be looking at right now? What would it mean if we got more federal funds?
You know, it's 50% of our revenue, so it would help a lot. Unfortunately, the bills that are currently going on are keeping us flat. And so we've been flat for about 10 years, which means that there's just not a lot of room for growth. And of course, the cost of living continues to rise.
Absolutely. We have an email comment from Chris in Taos. He says, the roads both in the town and county are the worst I've ever seen. Not only are the potholes hazardous because of their size and often depths of up to 8 inches, but cars swerve out of the lanes all the time in order to avoid the potholes. In March, our crews were actually patching potholes with dirt due to lack of funds. You can imagine how long that held up. Do you have a story you want to tell us today about a road in your area? Join our conversation by calling 277-5866. Outside of Albuquerque, you can call 877-899-5866. We have Glenn from Jemez Springs back on the line ready to make a comment. Glenn, what do you want to add today?
I sent KUNM some pictures of problems here in Jemez Springs on Highway 4. We've had many hundreds of big rigs just tearing up our highway here for the last several months, doing some work 30 miles north of us. The gravel and cinders left over from winter are on our sidewalk here. They just remain. They're kind of dangerous. Hundreds of RVs come up and down every weekend. We've had a pothole just sitting right in the middle of the highway here, and I was able to talk to a supervisor of the highway department a couple months ago about that, and he said, well, I'm the only supervisor supervising all these big rigs further north. But a week later, that pothole was filled. So thanks to that supervisor for doing something, but we really need some serious work here on this highway that's deteriorating.
Glenn, thanks for calling in today.
Mm-hmm.
We also have Cal in Los Alamos. Cal, what do you want to add?
Hi, good morning. Can you hear me?
Absolutely.
Good, because I'm using my first hands-free device.
All right, well, hopefully you're doing okay. It to be safe. Cal, what do you want to add to the conversation?
Actually, I'm pulling off the road right now since you called. A couple of things. One is that one of the problems I see in New Mexico and elsewhere is the whole question of what you do when a state highway becomes Main Street. And that goes to road design as you come into populated areas. Often have a situation at the transportation department where level of service of vehicles, which is important, seems to trump everything else. And what we don't see is enough effort to make sure that the roads are safe for pedestrians crossing the street, that there's enough crosswalks, that there are bike lanes, that nearby roads going out to the country have their shoulders fully paved rather than paved halfway out, which creates a lip which can cause a crash. So I know money is tight, and part of the reason it's tight is because we've accrued so many bond indebtedness. But I think at some point those situations and those considerations have to be built into long-range transportation planning. So if anybody wants to comment, I'd love to hear it. Thank you very much.
Secretary Church.
Yes, that is a concern. You know, most of our state highways do go through cities and towns. We generally have a maintenance agreement with the town to deal with the issues in there. Shoulders are a concern. We have a lot of roads in New Mexico without shoulders, just barely 12-foot driving lanes. And so, you know, that as traffic moves faster, it is a great concern.
And with people calling in today talking about these bad parts of the road and people swerving, sounds like it's not just about damaging your car. There's a safety issue here.
There is. You know, we do have a fairly high fatality rate. Not clearly not the worst in the country, but, you know, it's something that is reduced all the time. As far as, you know, the state highways, we're about 76% in good condition, which means that there's 24% that's in bad condition. And those are the issues that we're trying to address all the time.
There was a report that came out last month that got a lot of local media attention saying that, yeah, 24 or 25% of New Mexico's roads need to be repaired or repaved. What do people not know? We hear that number, but what else do folks need to know beyond just saying this needs to happen?
You know, it's essentially a revenue and a funding issue and a priority issue. We have some roads, for example, the interstate system, which have massive amounts of traffic. And you know, so what we try and do is balance the funding to the safety needs in terms of crash data and in terms of the road condition. So sometimes the less traveled roads don't get quite as much of attention as they should.
But it's because you're looking at safety when you set those priorities.
That's correct.
All right. Let's go back to the phone lines. We have Alan in Albuquerque. Alan, what do you want to add today?
Hi. I'm a native New Mexican, and my mom told me at the early part of the century, the 20th century, there was a great trolley car system in Albuquerque, and it disappeared because Chevy and Ford in Albuquerque and other cities tore the tracks out, got rid of the trolley car system to, you know, require people to get a car in order to get around. Oh, I'm an advocate for trains, absolutely unabashedly. In the short term, it would cost more to rebuild our train system in the country, but in the long run, it would be a huge improvement. It's, you know, cars are the most inefficient way you can possibly have to travel from point A to point B. It's crazy, and I hope that we're through with it. I hope we're moving to a point where we're through with our car culture and rebuild our train system.
Interesting.
By any major financial or environmental trains and then connecting maybe diesel buses to real small communities.
Interesting point. Thanks for calling. Thanks for calling in today, Alan. I'm going to go down to Gil in Santa Fe. Gil, what do you want to say today?
Hi, yeah, am I on?
Yes.
Okay, great. Actually, it's a clarification from the secretary. It really sounds like if the gasoline tax is 2% and the diesel surcharge tax is 22%, with the increase of the number of passenger diesel vehicles on the road right now because of the better fuel economy of them, it sounds like a certain percentage of the citizens of the state of New Mexico are being taxed at a different rate. There's an additional tax depending on what type of a vehicle that you drive. How are they addressing this issue?
All right, Gil. Secretary Church.
Hi, Gil. Yeah, you know, that's an interesting question. It is gasoline tax is 17 cents a gallon, and that's a fixed cost or a fixed rate, and diesel tax is 22 cents a gallon. I don't know, you know, ultimately the number of alternative vehicles is relatively small still in New Mexico. As you see, more electric vehicles, more diesel passenger vehicles, issues like that, they're still relatively small in the big picture. And yet it's a growing concern nationally as you get biodiesel and more efficient vehicles, how the country is going to deal with that.
You can also call in today, join our conversation. Would you pay more in gas taxes if you knew it was going to repair roads in your areas, roads across the state that need to be repaired and repaved? A report came out last month that said about 24 or 25% of New Mexico's rural roads are in need of repairs and or to be repaved. That put New Mexico in the bottom 10 in the nation, according to that report. Join our conversation by calling 277-5866. Outside of Albuquerque, it's 877-899-5866. We're going to go to a break. We'll be right back.
Not everybody has an old car or truck sitting around, but our vehicle donation program accepts almost anything with an engine, running or not. We take farm equipment, scooters, motorcycles, RVs, boats, high cube vans, even a big riding mower. It's worth a call to see if your donation qualifies, because you get rid of whatever it is, plus get a tax deduction and a KUNM membership with one simple phone call. Just call 888-KUNM-CAR. That's 888-586-6227.
Your brain is made up of cells, and each one does its own cell thing. But remarkable behavior emerges when lots of them join up in the gray matter club. You're a conscious being. A single neuron isn't. Find out about a process called emergence, when simple stuff develops complex forms and complex behavior, and all without a blueprint, on the next Big Picture Science.
Sunday morning at 11 on 89.9 KUNM.
This is the KUNM Call-In Show. I'm Sarah Gustavus. Today, our focus is road conditions around the state, what the roads look like, and how we're going to pay to fix them. I'm joined in studio today by New Mexico Department of Transportation Secretary Tom Church. We've been taking calls this hour, and I'd like to now bring in Paul Gessing, president of the Rio Grande Foundation. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Sarah. How are you doing?
I'm all right. Paul, you recently wrote an op-ed for NM Politics. What did you propose for roads in New Mexico, how we would pay to fix them?
Well, for starters, I don't think at this point we need more gas tax revenue, contrary to the senator. That could be something down the road, but the first thing we need to do is get the most we can for our money, and that would be by repealing our state's Davis-Bacon prevailing wage law, which Ohio did a study and found that you get about 11% more for your construction dollar if you repeal that kind of prevailing wage law, which is essentially a politically calculated wage inflation on public works projects. New Mexico's Supreme Court recently had a decision that's going to further increase the price tag of construction projects in New Mexico by an indeterminate amount, but 5 to 35% was what the wages would be recalculated upwards on that, based on that decision.
Paul, what about this idea that was introduced earlier in the hour about having oil and gas companies put some more money in to cover the damage that trucks have done to the roads?
Well, on this one, as the senator said, and I agree with him on this, the oil and gas industry already pays 31% of New Mexico's bills. They're paying enough. Now, if there's a way to keep some of that money in these local communities rather than sending it to Santa Fe and then having Santa Fe send it back, I think that's worth considering, but there's no reason to further increase the price tag of doing business in New Mexico for the oil and gas industry, which is already putting forth a great deal of our money for construction and just our general fund overall.
Paul, we have a caller who wants to comment on that as well. Hold with us for just a moment. Let's bring in Bart from Pietown. Bart, where do you want to see state money going right now?
Yeah, I just wanted to ask Tom if the state gives money to the counties to help out with the roads, because our roads are just terrible out here in Catrick County.
Secretary Church?
Hi, Bart. You know, actually, what happens is the gas tax, about 25% of it, 26% of it, goes directly to the local roads. So currently, that's how that works. And then we also have what's called the Local Government Road Fund, where we use a certain portion of revenue to then grant money to the different counties and cities based on application and need and stuff like that.
And Paul, how would you like to see money allocated to on the more local level, cities and counties, when it comes to road funding?
The biggest problem facing New Mexico's roads right now is in southeast New Mexico because of the booming, at least in recent years, oil industry, and that's where the revenue needs to be concentrated. There's always going to be problems in rural communities, and I'm not sure that it's easy to come up with a system that covers everyone and makes sure all the roads are good all the time. But having that local control is an important part of our road funding process here in New Mexico.
And Paul, I understand you also believe that some public-private partnerships are something the state should consider. What would that look like for you?
Well, at this point, we don't have a law in place at the state level that sets up a framework for public-private partnerships, and these have predominantly been used in very high traffic, very congested areas, Southern California, Washington, D.C., and the Beltway, those kinds of places. I don't know that anyone would say New Mexico is quite at the point where we really need one in place, but if or need these projects to be built, I should say, but if we had the law in place that set up a framework for how private investors and public entities could work together to enhance our infrastructure, that would allow more private financing of some road projects that are really needed. The one that's under consideration is around Albuquerque, kind of the western loop around the volcanoes there, and that's something that possibly could be used and done in a public-private partnership way. But we just need the authorization, the rules in place, so that you don't have to reinvent the wheel every time you want to do one of these.
And when you talk about that loop, are we talking toll roads?
You could have those. It doesn't require. There's nothing saying that would have to happen. Those toll roads do tend to happen in very highly congested areas. There's other ways to leverage private dollars to maintain and fund roads, and that's really the essence of public-private partnerships at this point.
All right, Paul, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Sarah.
Let's go back to the phone lines. We have Jack in Albuquerque. Jack, you have a question for us today?
Yeah, I appreciate Mr. Gessing's points about public-private partnerships and the need for local control of funding. But, you know, diverting public money to the Southeast Quadrant takes it away from everybody else. So that's good by itself. But why is transportation such a special snowflake that it doesn't have to pay gross receipts taxes on anything? I mean, we don't pay for the state police. We don't pay for local police for traffic enforcement. We don't pay for, you know, the EMTs who clean up. Why not?
All right. Transportation Secretary Tom Church.
You know, the DOT does pay gross receipts tax on all construction projects.
All right. Let's go now to Alex. Alex is calling in from rural New Mexico. Alex, what do you have to say about traffic on the roads in your area?
Well, I have three quick points. I'll try and be brief. Let me start local, then statewide, then national. My local issue is I live on County Road 34, and it's a 30-mile road, and it's split in the middle between Santa Fe and Don Miguel County. On the Santa Fe side, it's a decent enough dirt road. On the San Miguel County between Roe and Rincona, they paved it about 3 years ago and then just left it. And I wish they would either just tear up the pavement, make it a decent dirt road, or repave it. But the way it is now, it's almost like an obstacle course. It's just crazy. Okay, second point is when we talk about getting the people in the South and the oil industry to pay for the roads, the road damage they're doing, you know, they keep talking about the taxes that are already extant, that are in place. And the oil industry was not always in place on this scale. So I think there should be some sort of special road charge for them. Third point is I used to live in Lamy by the rails, and I would watch the maintenance vehicles come. And they would put down rails from their vehicles and then run across the rails with their tires, powering the vehicle. We could do that in the slow lane, even eventually both lanes, of all of our major freeways and have all traffic on rails on all major roads. You pop your rails up, you go on your small roads. We take that money that we used to spend on the freeways, put it on the local roads. I think there's a lot of options with rails and self-driving technology that's going to really solve a lot of these problems.
Interesting point. We don't know that we can go too far into that. We're focusing today on the condition of roads and funding. Thank you so much for that comment about what you've seen in your area, Alex. We have an email comment from Ken. He said, I support a gasoline tax index to the price of oil. It would not only stabilize revenue, as previously mentioned, it would also stabilize fuel and possibly reduce pollution. When fuel prices go down, people tend to drive more, causing more pollution. An index tax would help offset the tendency to drive less efficiently. That's an interesting point. You can still call in today and share your comments about roads in New Mexico, 277-5866. Let's take a couple of local calls now in Albuquerque. We have Victor. Victor, what do you want to say about road conditions that you see?
Oh, yeah. Good morning. Briefly, just in reference to potholes, because we're in Albuquerque, I do most of the driving, is that in 2009 from work, I called about a pothole, which I have near... you go west of Montano, pretty close to Pan American going to Costco. But and then I called the beginning of the year in January, but it's kind of the city, and this is what really irritates me. I asked about that, then capriciously, pretty close to where I live, they've done Louisiana to Manal. They're doing part of that. They're doing on San Pedro, Manal, Louisiana, and then on Osuna from Wyoming to I think Wyoming to Pennsylvania, now part of the Constitution, they spend maybe millions or hundreds of thousands of dollars redoing that, and they neglect the potholes. So that's my call.
All right. Secretary Church, let's go back just a moment. There was an email comment about indexing the gas tax to the price of oil. Is that something we could do?
Sarah, that's been suggested through legislation for a number of years. What that does in principle is it changes the gas tax to the economy. New Mexico has a fixed gas tax, which has been the same for about 20 years.
And so what are some other things that have kind of been on the table that people are talking about in your field? I know you have a lot of expertise. You've been with DOT for 20-something years. Are we possibly going to have some changes in things like gas taxes and funding in the next couple years?
Well, actually, the governor has really avoided raising taxes. What we're trying to do is re-divert some of the general fund money, which is actually road fund revenues that have been moved to the general fund over the years. For example, there's a motor vehicle excise tax where people pay on 3% on the cost of a new vehicle. That money right now goes purely to the general fund. And so the debate then becomes, is that a sales tax or is it a road tax?
And so what do you think are some things that people don't understand about how road funding works that you'd like folks to understand today?
I think the important thing is that we're a huge state. We have the fifth largest highway system in the country, and one of the smallest populations in the country. Our number of rural roads are massive, with most of the population either being in the Albuquerque or Northern Corridor, or down in the Las Cruces Corridor. And so, trying to meet the needs of everyone is really quite challenging.
How do you set priorities? How do you make those decisions?
It's really mostly formula-based. All transportation planning in New Mexico starts at a local level. We have regional planning and metropolitan planning organizations who then move projects and priorities up, and then we develop those into what's called the state transportation plan.
We have time for one more call today. We're going to go to Will in Tijeras. Will, what do you want to say?
Good morning. Every time somebody raises the issue of taxing the oil companies more for taking all that oil out of New Mexico, they say, oh, gee, they already pay such a huge piece of our taxes, as though we were afraid something bad would happen. The dependence is the oil companies upon our great sources of gas and oil. And if they're tearing up our roads, saying, oh, they already pay a lot of taxes, is a ridiculous excuse for not taxing them to fix the damage to the infrastructure that they do. They can afford it. If we're getting a certain number of billions out of them, they're getting way more billions out of our oil. I get all exercised every time I hear somebody defend the oil companies for not paying enough taxes.
Taxes, definitely a theme today in the show. We do have time to squeeze in one more caller. Julie in Mindanales, what do you want to add today about what you've seen in your area?
Hi. Good morning. My comment is that I live on a county road, and it seems like we're kind of lost in the shuffle. This road is so full of potholes and has some seriously dangerous blind curves that it's really dangerous. Some of these potholes are just axle-breaking potholes, and occasionally some of the locals will go out and throw gravel in them. One whole end of the road was washed out when we had massive rains the summer before last, and it's still washed out. And there's the other comment that I have is that, it's just in the city of Santa Fe that is supposed to be the capital of the state, that's supposed to be a big tourist mecca. The streets are just a disgrace. They're potholed. They're crumbling. I don't know what's happening with our tax dollars, but it just seems like we're kind of getting lost in the shuffle here with all of the resources going to big oil.
Julie, I want to ask you one thing though. We had someone call in earlier and say when there are those big potholes out on the country roads, people swerve to miss them. Do you see that as well?
Oh, all the time. And that's why what I mean about the fact that, well, there are two or three really blind curves on County Road 142, and people are swerving onto the wrong side of the road to go around potholes all the time. I've come head to head with people, and fortunately, it's sort of a 1.5 lane road. So, but people are still going down that road sometimes at 35 or 40 miles an hour.
Julie, thanks for calling. Sorry to cut you off there. We are getting close to the end of the hour. Thank you so much for calling in. That's kind of an incredible visual, Secretary Church, of people swerving to avoid potholes, maybe even into oncoming traffic.
You know, that is an issue with there are a lot of county roads. There are still dirt roads. And, you know, in this case, the person was talking about a county road. And, you know, we just need to keep focused on them. And that's call your county representative. And, you know, as far as the state roads go, clearly, you know, we have an obligation to fill as many potholes as we see, and those are the primary system.
She also talked about folks going out and trying to fill those potholes themselves. I would imagine that's not something transportation officials recommend.
You know, no. On the state roads, we get out there and fix the potholes.
But what do you recommend to people if they say this is a real problem here? They should just call their local representatives that are in Santa Fe?
No, you know, as far as the state highways, if you call one of the district offices, we'll address the issue as best we can. If you're talking about a county or a city road, then you should call the public works departments of those areas.
We've spent the past hour talking about kind of where we are right now with about a quarter of our roads are needing some repairs. We're working on that using state funding, using federal funding, using all these different sources. But looking ahead to the future, what do we need to be looking for? This is not going to go away. If anything, could there be 50% of the roads that need to be repaired at some point?
You know, I've been following these numbers for a long time. New Mexico is pretty consistent. We keep our interstates at about 95% good condition. And our rural roads have been between 70 and 80% good condition for the last 20 years.
And so what message do you want to leave people with today?
You know, it's a big state, and I think, you know, one of our frustrations was brought up earlier, and that is the orange barrel issue. You know, a short-term inconvenience to a driver usually means a long-term fix.
Orange barrels, meaning they're out there because folks are doing work on crews are out repairing the roads.
That's correct.
Also a safety issue. Secretary Tom Church, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
That was Department of Transportation Secretary Tom Church. Thanks to our other guests who called in today. You can get more information about our topic on our website, KUNM.org. Just search for The Call-In Show under the News tab. Elaine Baumgartel is the executive producer of The Call-In Show. Jefferson White is the engineer. Kaveh Movahed screened your calls today. And thanks to Marisa DeMarco for directing. I'm Sarah Gustavus. Join us again at the same time next week.